We all have a story. Sometimes it's a story we choose, and sometimes it's a story we fall into. That choice can either work for us or against us. Now, according to Experts Gallup, on average, we spend 81,396 hours at work over the course of our lifetime. And in fact, the only thing we spend more time doing than working is sleeping. And yet, as Gallup's research shows, only around 1 in 10 people in the UK truly love the work they do. And that's the reason for this podcast, to help the 9 out of 10 who dread the thought of weekday mornings. I remember myself how that felt before I changed my own career story. So if the thought of those weekday mornings fills you with dread, or that quiet voice keeps telling you there is something better waiting for you, why not join me for a conversation with an inspirational guest about how they've successfully changed their career story? My name's Carolyn Parry, and I'm an award-winning career and life coach. And every fortnight, I'll be joined by an inspirational guest for a conversation about their career journey, the highs, the lows, and the lessons they've learned, full of ideas, strategies, and insights drawn from those real-life stories. The Change Your Story podcast will help you to discover your why and what else really matters to you, so that you too can create a working life you love. Welcome to Change Your Story. You're in for a treat in the episode today of Change Your Story. I'm delighted to have with me here Mel Cameron. Now, Mel, croeso, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
We first met only, I think, when we were both in Lampeter, University of Wales, Trinity St David, and I was there proudly wearing my President of the CDI badge, doing a development session for all the careers advisors in the team there, of whom you are one. And I think I shared my story of career change fairly early on as the reason why I'm so passionate about working in career development. And I remember you coming up in the break and going, do you know what? I changed career and it was around the same age. So I'm going to disclose mine was 39. I think yours might have been a little bit less than that. And then I said, well, I'm writing a book and it's called Change Your Story. And I've got a podcast. Do you fancy coming on and sharing it so that anybody who wants to change career has got a bit of inspiration, some insights and some help to do exactly that, to create the story they want, rather than endure a story that might have been put on them? So that's why we're here today. Mel, welcome.
It's great to meet you and I'm glad to be doing this today.
I'm absolutely delighted you're doing it. We're going to have a little look at your career story and how that change came about. So now, I know from you that you were an army child.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so my mum and my dad were both in the army and they met when they were in the army. My mum was a nurse. She was very proud to join the army at the age of 18. She left her little village in Wales. And my dad was a paratrooper. He joined the army first, then became a paratrooper. And so both of them worked really hard to get where they were. And they loved their roles there. They were living in England at the time when they first met, but then we moved to Germany, which is where I was born. And we were there for a few years, and then we moved then to the south of England, to Aldershot, where we lived on another army base there. And yeah, it's a great environment to grow up in, lots of people from different cultures, all different ages. It was a really great experience, very different to the norm. And then when we eventually left army life, it was a quite an adjustment. Obviously now I don't really remember it, but at the time family member said it was, I came with this little weird accent to normal life. I look back and I think fondly on my memories of my time going to different bases and all different events. But yeah, it was unusual.
It's funny you say about Aldershot, because I grew up not far from there. I grew up in Camberley and I got married in Farnborough.
So, oh wow,
I know Aldershot.
No way.
Well, and I think the accent you're talking about is what I fondly call the Southeast conversion kit that was fitted. It's the accent that everybody has in the home counties. Like you,
oh,
I'm
wow.
Welsh and everybody thinks that I'm English because of the accent, but it's what is around you, isn't it? And that's how you develop. And then you come back to Wales and you develop a beautiful Welsh lilt instead. Back
yeah,
to,
I know.
Back to origins. So you've talked about that sort of sense of change and movement. And I suspect that that theme of travel might be important as we go through some more of your career story shortly. So you move from Aldershot and a base around Llantrisant and actually go to college, so school rather, first in Bridgend. You developed an interest in a particular area, didn't you? Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I'd always enjoyed entertainment, movies like all children do. But then as I got older, I was obviously making my choices about what I'd like to do in the future. And I was always gearing towards the creative side of things. I wanted to be doing things. I liked to be thinking on my feet and just being creative, basically. And there was nothing really available in my school at that time that interested me. I did actually like school, but I did then look towards the technical college, which was in Bridgend, and found immediately, as soon as I opened up the prospectus, I thought, that's what I want to do. And it was film production, media production, that kind of thing. And I thought, yeah, I love that. So I did that. A little bit sad to leave school because I did enjoy the environment. Obviously, it's safe as well because you know everybody there. But going to college, it was like, I remember the first day walking through the gates and it felt like it was where I was meant to be. And I know it sounds so corny, but it really did, because it was from the no uniform to the freedom to knowing that I could be creative and I was in charge of my own destiny almost. It felt like it was right. And I just loved the environment and being in that environment with people of all different ages again, different backgrounds. Everybody was so different. I just thought, oh, this is brilliant and I love it. Yeah.
So some really strong values about independence, freedom, taking control of where you were going, different backgrounds, different cultures. Obviously, that's a quiet echo of the army, isn't it? Different cultures and different
Definitely.
Backgrounds. And actually, interestingly, probably the opposite of army life, which is not free in the same way at all. It comes with some quite significant restrictions around, doesn't
Absolutely.
It? Interesting stuff. And I suspect that although you like the freedom and so forth, I suspect you had quite a strong work ethic having come from an army background. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. And I had worked as soon as I was able to. I obviously, when I was a bit younger, I couldn't work officially, but little things in the community. But then as soon as I was able to, naturally went into that role of looking for a part-time job. But I'd always liked to be busy. And I think my parents, they are work ethic, long hours, like mum being a nurse. We know that that's a tough job and long hours and things like that. I'd had that example set to me. And the people that were around the family as well were always working. So it was, I'd say, a good influence. And I wanted to do the right thing. And I wanted to be that person as well. It gave me like purpose as well. So I think early on, when I got my first job, I was like, oh, I like this. I'm responsible. This is, I'm in charge of my own money and all that kind of thing. I think because I got good things from it, I worked and I met people, I made friends and I had a good time and I was enjoying it. So it kind of fired me up to want to do more.
And that was in Pizza Hut, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Yeah, my very first job was Pizza Hut. And I remember the interview so well because it was my very last day of school and I actually went to the interview with my school uniform on, and it was the day that everybody signs the t-shirts and stuff. And but they knew I was going in my uniform and I asked if it was okay. They said, oh, when's your last day? And I was like, look at my shirt. It was obviously under my jumper. I wasn't going to go with this scribbled on shirt, but yeah, it was my very last day. So that chapter was finishing, you know, then I was leaving there. That whole summer then I spent most of my time, because it was a brand new store. We were putting our mark on it. Again, all different ages of people working there, different backgrounds. So it was just like a time in my life where some old things were ending, even though it was a bit sad. It was all exciting because all these new possibilities and doors were opening in front of me. So it was a brilliant time.
That's what life's about, isn't it? Changing chapters and ends. We can't have a new beginning without an ending.
Absolutely.
In certain circumstances. We do have to let things go to move forward. Yeah. And you certainly moved forward, didn't you? Because you moved forward quite a long way that summer, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I worked in that Pizza Hut for quite some time. But in between that, I was going back and forth and going to college. I was studying full time in that September. And I did that for a couple of years, finished that course. And my itchy feet started to come through. I was like thinking, oh, I want to do something different. I'm not sure what I want to do. And at that time, I was about to turn 18. And the talk of university was starting to buzz around with lecturers and people in college asked, what was I going to do? Obviously, my parents as well wanted to know if I was going to go. And I did want to go, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And at that time, I realized, if I'm going to spend this money to go to university, I want to know that I'm actually doing what I want to do. So my parents were totally okay with it, but I was a bit worried about whether delaying my entry to university was actually a good idea or not. But in the end, that is what I decided to do. And I thought, I would like to travel. And that's where basically that journey started. And I didn't realize that it would take me in a completely different direction to where I thought I would be. But I've got no complaints about it.
So that travel was over to the States, wasn't it?
Yeah, so actually one day I was in Pizza Hut working and I was talking to one of my managers at the time and I was explaining my dilemma. What do I do? And I said, I'm going to go traveling, but I want to go somewhere where they speak English because it's my first time away from home and I want to feel safe. And I want to work. I don't want to just travel. And then this manager said, oh, have you heard about the Camp America thing? And I was like, no. And then that all the doors opened and a friend of mine and I went to London to a recruitment fair and we met lots of different camps. It was a very busy day, but we got very lucky and I was offered a position working at a summer camp in Pennsylvania and I was hired to teach video with the children and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. This was 2002, so the internet was just being born. So it was limited. Like nowadays, if we were to go, there's obviously websites everywhere, the social media. But I obviously had an idea of what I was getting myself into and I was very excited. I was looking forward to summer in the sun or working with different people. But it wasn't until I arrived that I could see the size of the place and how far away I was from home. And I actually realized what I got myself into. And I just, as soon as I arrived, it just felt like I was in heaven because it was just so beautiful there. You're in the middle of nowhere. It's surrounded by a beautiful lake in the forest. And it just felt like the people that were there were just all great, kind people who just cared about making sure these kids had the best summer ever. And it felt like a family because the camp now is over 100 years old. So it'd been going for a very long time and they knew what they were doing. They were professional. These are all people that work with kids all year round. Their kids are gone. They've gone to camp. Their grandparents have gone to the camp or met there. So very traditional. And I just loved that environment because I had a relatively small family growing up. So being part of something so big just felt amazing. All the people that worked there from all over the world, the kids, the staff were just one big family. It was amazing.
Again, some common themes around different cultures, connection. It's funny how that's come out of one conversation with somebody. A lived experience, really. Not anything from a professional career specialist. Would have been interesting at that stage if you'd gone and had a conversation with a careers advisor, actually, at that point, to see what they'd have come up with or what you would have come up with together, be a better way of putting it. But you went on this big journey out to the States. And I just wonder how much of your mother's background of being a nurse and caring for people is echoed in that sense of working with those kids and caring for them in that family context of those camps. Does that resonate at all with you?
Yeah, definitely. I think so, because especially when I was much younger and we were still in the army. Well, when I say we, I wasn't, you know what I mean. But when we were still in that environment. Yeah. When we lived in Aldershot, there was a time when my mum actually left the army and she worked at a nursing home for children who were orphans and the home was in Farnborough. When she would go, sometimes if my dad was posted somewhere, I would go with her to work and I would just sit with my colouring book or whatever. But often when we went to this place, I would interact with the children and they were from all over the place, being in places where there had been war, and I would just help her out or I'd play with them and sit in colour, that kind of thing. And I think that kind of experience, probably, I didn't realize at the time, but it resonated with me. And I think the help inside of, you know, being with different people and having an open mind really to different abilities or just different people in general was probably, the seed was planted quite early on and it just developed from there really. But going to camp for me, when I first went, it wasn't my intention for it to go in the direction that it did. It was more of a, oh, I fancy going away for the summer. It'll be a good experience. But I knew the day that the kids arrived, which was a very nerve-wracking day. These American, very confident young women arriving at camp, and I had no clue. But I just fell into it, and I knew that I would be back the following year, but I didn't realize I'd keep going. But it just snowballed, but it was probably the best decision I'd ever made.
Just to widen that thinking, variety of experiences, learn some different skills along the way, communication skills, all of that presumably is what you gained from that experience, and a whole heap more, I suspect.
Oh gosh, definitely. I think it's so interesting because when I look back, I think to myself, gosh, you had no idea, because I really didn't. I went into it to have a great summer and meet some people. That's honestly what I went into it for. But looking back, the things I learned, even in that one summer, just the independence you gain, you are working pretty much 24/7, except obviously when you have some time off, but still you're in that environment. There's no escape. Or looking after people's children. Obviously there's a degree of, there's other people that are above you that have other responsibilities too, but on the whole, you are responsible for making sure that these children go home at the end of the summer and that they have a great time. So you just throw yourself into it. And you see these kids worship the ground you walk on. And it's just such an amazing experience. And I would recommend it to anyone because, you know, the people you meet as well, the experiences you have, the memories you make will really just stay with you for life. I think about when I was 18 now, and I just would love to be able to like watch myself and see how much I've changed, because I think that it really taught me a lot about resilience and powering through, digging deep, all that kind of stuff that you don't necessarily pick up. No, I'm not saying that working in pizza wouldn't have taught me a lot of things, because it definitely did. But being immersed in an environment really was something that I got a lot out of.
Clearly, that immersion in an environment that's a long way away from the previous environment, that's quite a formative experience, isn't it? Because it really helps you realise you can actually thrive. Even though it might be a challenging context, you can stretch and thrive if you've got trust and faith in yourself to do that. So that was sort of 18 through to about 22, wasn't it? And then there was another change, another chapter started when you decided that maybe university was right for you. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I'd been going back and forth to America for maybe 3 or 4 summers at that point, and I was working. And I did some part-time courses at college just in the media field, just to make sure that I was still studying. And then I did another full-time one, and that was in performing arts. And I thought, I'll try the other side of the camera this time. And I loved that. And I went to university with so much confidence in that field. And I thought, yeah, I'd like to do this. I did more performing arts with a little bit of media on the side. And I thought, you know what? I know I'd like to do this now. I want to have that experience because I think I loved camp so much. Being with my friends all the time, I thought university is going to be 20 times better and I'm in the UK. So I applied for a few universities and I went to visit a couple of them. And the day that I went to the university that I actually ended up going to, walking on campus, I just knew this is the place for me because it was a stunning campus. And I absolutely loved my time at university. Looking back, I think if I'd been younger going to university, I probably would have changed my course. Not significantly, but I would have gone to a more media direction because that's probably where my interests definitely lay. But I would not change anything else. The university, the staff, the people, all perfect.
It's interesting listening to you there because this is the second time you've gone, so this is the right environment for me. I know this is the place. That's twice that's happened in your story so far. How do you know? What is it that goes, yep? How does that internal feeling arise?
Oh, I've never been asked that before. Well, I don't know, really. I just think it's a feeling. I can get a vibe. I hate to say that, sorry. But I felt the people around me were happy and it was real. I guess it wasn't like I opened the door and it was like, wow. It was, you know, spending a little bit of time there. And I thought, but although it was beautiful, I have to say, because it had a beautiful clock tower. It was grass. It was the summer. Well, it was just about to be the summer. People were sitting on the grass chatting. I thought, yeah, I like this. I want to be somewhere where I feel like I'm in the environment. I don't want to just shut my door at the end of the day and then that's it. I want to be in it. I want to be absorbed and I want to enjoy every aspect that I can. And I did that definitely when I was there.
Okay, so that's connection, really. It's a sunshine and connection were the two things that came out strong. Very similar to what you said when you went to the States and other experiences. And I suspect that will come up again later on as we carry on moving through your story. So at uni, you did some part-time work and spent some time doing more stuff to do with helping people get onto camps, whether it was recruiting or interviewing, or it was actually then doing a bit of outreach stuff to get people who have come from more challenging backgrounds to consider developing themselves through university. Then we get to 2009, which is graduation.
Yep.
Another shift, another chapter. What was that like and where did you go?
Well, this was an important part. I guess it's an important stage for anyone who's about to graduate because I was very torn. I had the opportunity to stay at the university, actually, and work within the student union, and that was something that was posed to me. But I was very conscious of my age, and I know it sounds crazy now because I look back and I think you are no age, but I was very conscious that I was a mature student, even though I was 25 or 26 or something, which is insane now. But the company that I'd worked for at the time, they had a marketing role and they'd asked me if I would like to do it. Being a graduate, finding a graduate job is hard enough. And I thought, well, this is something that does interest me and I like the sound of that. You know, I can talk about camp. I can get people to come along and add some experience at that point with the interviewing. And I get to meet students, travel around. And I thought, oh, that sounds quite interesting. I wouldn't mind going to visit other universities and seeing what they have to offer. And I was quite a confident public speaker. And I had experience in that. And I guess that's my performing arts background, I suppose. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. And I did that for 2 years. And I was marketing manager then for Wales and the southwest of England. So I was basically responsible for every university that fell in that area to promote the program to. So I didn't drive at the time either, which made it very difficult. But thankfully, lots of the people at the different universities were really helpful. Most of them were easy to get to. But when you go down to the southwest of England, some of them are a little bit harder to get to. But it all worked out. And I would basically go and promote the services. I'd go to events like freshers fairs or recruitment fairs. I would also do presentations in evenings or afternoons, whatever they wanted. And just delivered sessions promoting what we did and explaining the experience, really. And working with those universities was really interesting experience for me. And I really enjoyed it because I would book all the events, organize them all, and plan the content that they would like me to share. And it was just real learning experience for me because I was doing a lot of marketing then. It was the first time I'd really done that. And I really got a lot from it because I enjoyed getting students involved, getting them recruited, and working with the different career services, all these different universities was, I would say, a seed planting moment. I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm going to coin that.
I think we all have within us the seeds of things we could go and develop. The seeds are there. It's for us to spot them and decide to water them or not and to take that further. And obviously later on, we'll come to how that happened and you started to grow a career in a different direction. So you were also doing some digital marketing there, weren't you? You talked about your American experience where your internet was just about coming through 2002. And here you are now doing things like search engines and direct mail and online advertising and all of that. Did that take you away from helping people bit that had been a bit of a theme up until then?
Yeah, I think so. I loved the face-to-face things I did with the students and working with them. I loved that. But other than that, I was working from home predominantly and I was living in a student house share at the time as well. So it was quite difficult, but it was the first time I had to really manage my workflow to make sure that I was getting what I needed to do done. But I did struggle, I think, the working from home aspect because I like the interaction with people. I'm much better at it now. But at the time, when I was a lot younger, it didn't feel natural. So I was looking for the next thing so that I could have that face-to-face interaction with people. Although looking back, I learned a lot in that time because the social media was really basic at that point. Well, for me anyway, things that we put out now would be so much more advanced to what I put out then. But it did the job and nobody knew any different. But I had to do a lot of basing. I was doing a lot of emailing, the groundwork, really pushing. And I guess for me, I learned a lot.
Was it something that went with your sort of strengths and energy, or did it you have to push do them because it didn't feel like a natural place to be for you?
I enjoyed the creative aspect of it, but if I had to think out the box, because if I didn't do the work, I wouldn't have anybody at my presentations, no bums on seats, which is obviously what we were working towards. I think maybe at the beginning, I was like, oh, I might need to change my tactics here. And then I realized then what I needed to do to get where I needed to be. So it was definitely not a natural way for me to work, but I soon realized that it's what I needed to do to be successful.
Interesting listening to you then talking again about environment. And I think it's probably fair for me to say that you are more extrovert than introvert as an individual, and performing artist is not necessarily somebody who's more introverted. I think that's probably why you need that sense of having more people around, because that reinvigorates your energy and recharges it. Whereas for people who are more introverted, it's the I want to sit in an office on my own, thank you, with the door shut, because that too much interaction with too many people actually is exhausting for somebody who's introverted, isn't it? Interesting to see personality play out through career choice. So you spent some time doing all this digital marketing stuff and rushing around to universities, and then suddenly there was an opportunity to go to the States again.
Yeah, so the cultural exchange summer camp situation is very seasonal, and in May, June time, the participants would leave their home country and head out to the States and then go to their camp that they've been hired at. And I'd actually done this journey myself many times and was going to do it that summer again regardless. But I got an opportunity to work at the meet and greet. The northeast of the United States has a large amount of summer camps. The majority of people go through New York and they have a meet and greet where the students would fly in, they'd have a night in a hostel, and they would have a short orientation, what to expect, that kind of thing, and then they would go on their way the next day. And I'd done it many times. I thought, this looks amazing. I really want to do it. I love New York City. It's an absolutely amazing place. I just love being there. And to get the opportunity to live and work there for 2 months was a dream come true. And so when I'd finished my course and I was working, I thought, I'm going to apply when I get the opportunity to. And I was lucky enough to get the position, and it was just the most amazing experience. I don't think I slept for 2 months, but it was just fantastic. Well, I couldn't have done it for much longer than that. I would have had a better sleep schedule, that's for sure. But it was just a fantastic opportunity. We were based in a hostel, which was on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And 15 of us worked there. And we would welcome the staff. We'd go to the airports to meet them. We'd bring them back to the hostel. Sometimes we'd have coaches of people arriving with like 100 people on one particular day. And people would come in from all over the UK, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere. All these people were first time away from home. They were, some of them were scared. They didn't speak English as their first language. And you were there as their person to welcome them, make be a shoulder to cry on, because some of them were very nervous. But on the whole, people were so excited, and we were there to just pump them up and get them ready and excited. And they were arriving at all times of the day for the whole 2 months. And I loved working with staff, and it was just a fantastic environment, because a hostel anyway has got people coming from all over the world. And the people that we worked with were all people who had been to camp, and they all understood what these kids were going through. So that is one of my fondest memories. I was living the dream in New York City, and I just, yeah, I had such a great time. And it was exhausting, I can't deny that. We were running on a short amount of sleep because I was managing this site, and I was just wanting to make sure that everything went smoothly, because these people were relying on us to make sure that they arrived. Oh, I loved every minute of it.
So there's that helping and caring theme back again through from mum and the visits to hospital in Farnborough, then where the kids were. So you had to do something to catch back up on your sleep. So another shift came shortly afterwards. Talk us through that one.
So So, well, after I finished that job, I actually went straight to camp.
Of course.
And then worked there for the summer. It was fantastic and a great experience. And then I did the CCUSA marketing for 2 years. And then I felt like I'd done everything I could within that particular role, and I started looking for other things. And whilst I was in America, I received an email letting me know that there was this position available within the summer camp industry. And I thought, that sounds fantastic. Less of a marketing role, but more one-to-one processing participants who were going to work overseas and doing all of the things that are involved with that. And I applied for that. I had the interview and I found out I had the job, and I had to get home and find somewhere to live because it was in Liverpool, and move up there and start a new life up there. And I did that for 5 years, and I learned an awful lot at that job. It cemented my thoughts of thinking that I don't know if I'll work in camping forever, but I definitely want to work in a role where I'm supporting people, because the majority of the people that we were working with were around 18 to 25, and they, most of them, were in university. So working in that coaching environment was something I thought, oh, I really like this. And I think that's where I thought about the future and thought, where can I take this? Maybe once I've had enough of the summer camps.
So a few more years on the clock, a few more missed nights of sleep, and then maybe I might shift direction. Fascinating. And of course, you had gone back to your roots a little bit, hadn't you? The sort of the media lead work you were doing there, doing much of the digital content around video, music and radio and photography and media production, back to those training days that you had earlier. And around the same time, you started to do an awful lot in the volunteering space, didn't you? Sort of health and well-being theme emerging there, because you started to be a St John's ambulance first aider, didn't you? How did that come about?
Was when I was a child. I'd been a badger, I think that they're called, and I didn't really commit to it for too long, but I always thought I'd like to go back to it. I think with my mum being a nurse, I'd always been interested in it. I didn't really know exactly where it was going to take me. I enjoyed working with people and I wanted to learn first aid for personal reasons. When you join up with St John's, you go through the training and they take you through different levels before you can go out on duty. And because St John's are recruited by councils or the people who are running events to supervise these events and make sure that if anyone needs any care, that they are there to help. And you go to all kinds of events. You can go to music events, sport events, local fete, anything where there's people, the event organizers make sure that the first aid is on hand. And I just really liked working with people who needed support, really. And I enjoyed working with the team because some of the people were extremely skilled and had a lot of experience. The people that I was working with, some of them were doctors, nurses, so really skilled people who were teaching you lots of great skills. So it's just an environment that was very people focused.
Connection, chance to grow in there as well, and chance to learn. I'm hearing a learning theme coming through there, and we'll move on to that in a minute, I think.
Yeah.
At the same time, or shortly afterwards, you took on what I would put in the more gritty area of volunteering, certainly in context, and this is fundraising for Tŷ Hafan, the children's hospice in Wales. How did that come about?
When I was about 14, a friend of my mother's daughter was a user of Tŷ Hafan, and the family went back and forth to use Tŷ Hafan as respite as their daughter was poorly. And we'd been to a party there just for her. And this environment was, you wouldn't know what it was for. It was happy. Everyone was smiling. There was music playing. It was just a great environment. But to know what good they were doing was inspiring, really, to me. Always remained in the back of my mind. And I think when I was working full time, I like to have something else. I like to have like an additional hobby. And I thought, even if I give a few hours a week or even a few hours a month, it's better than doing nothing at all. So getting involved with them was great. Anything you do is such a massive difference to the charity, because everything that they gain is from fundraising. And I was doing little things from just sharing an email to holding a bucket. And it makes such a difference. And I think to give back, because I saw the experience that my mum's friend and the family got from it, tragic as it was, without Tí Hafan, it would have been even harder for them. And there's true value in that. And I think, you know, if we can give up a few hours of my time, I think it's definitely worthwhile.
It's not just about the money in life, is it? It's about the difference that you make along the way. And certainly the work you're doing there was clearly making a
Absolutely.
Difference. Then, of course, another period with CCUSA, very much marketing communications, yep. maybe bringing together all of those various experiences from the university when you were helping students to settle in during Freshers Week through to understanding interviewers and developing interviewers to have those abilities. And then a change again. This was quite a significant change this time, though, isn't it? The rest have been sort of paragraphs and maybe a chapter or two. This is a whole new section, your career story, isn't it? It's a whole new part too. How did it come about? What happened?
Well, there was this thing called the global pandemic that came about in 2020, which really changed everything. And at the time, it was quite scary, if I'm being honest. And I was very worried, as everybody was at the time. What's going to happen? Am I going to lose my job? Where am I going to go from here? But just to rewind a little bit, before the pandemic, I stopped going to camp during the summers in 2017. And it was totally my decision, because my summer job was becoming a little bit more stressful, the job that I was doing there. And I just felt like I needed some time. Not saying I'll never go back, but I just needed to stop and focus on home life, spending time with family, friends, that kind of thing. And the job, I definitely enjoyed it, but I felt like I needed something new. And in my mind, I thought, you know, over the years that I wanted to work in a university environment, and I thought about becoming a careers advisor, but I'd looked at different avenues and thought, well, I'm not in a position right now to be able to do that, whether it was money or just time. I'm going to have to study. How am I going to do that? I live here. So it was just maybe something that maybe when I'm a bit older and I've got a bit more time, or I can save whatever, I'll do it then. That's that. But it was always in the back of my mind thinking, oh, this is where I want to be. And then 2020 happened. And as we were drawing closer to March, obviously it was in the news and what was going on, but we carried on as normal. I think a lot of people didn't really expect the world to change as much as it did. And when we got to around, I would say maybe May 2020, working in the camping industry, I think it dawned on everybody that the summer wasn't going to happen. And that's our income completely gone in a heartbeat, and we were placed on furlough. And I wasn't too worried at that point, but it was just this thing that had came out of nowhere and stopped the whole world, was stopping something that had been going for over 100 years as well as everything else. It completely took us by surprise. And then not long after that, then I was made redundant. And at this point then, I thought, I think about where I'm going in my life now. And fortunately for me, I was actually furlough after I was told I'd been made redundant. So it gave me time to get myself in order, basically. And that was everything from my CV, my LinkedIn, my goals, what do I want to do? And I spent a lot of time thinking about where I'm going. Is working in the summer camp industry what I want to do? Where am I going? And I thought, no, I think I'm going to have to do this now, because it feels like the right time. I literally took a pen and paper and I was writing down what it is that I want to do, where I want to be. And I started just looking at different roles that are available, and all of them that I liked were around people. And I thought, I need to go for this now. And I was very lucky that I spoke to a careers advisor, and I told her exactly what I wanted to do. And I said, actually, I'd like to be doing what you're doing. And I said, oh, I would like to work in a university, though. That would be my ideal environment. You know, obviously, I need the training. If I'm going to do this, I might need to save, or should I get experience first, etc. And I had applied for quite a few jobs at that point in different areas. And I was interviewing, which was giving me good experience. I had this whole spreadsheet going. And then I spoke to this careers advisor. And a couple of days later, at about midnight, I got this email from her. And it was this job. And she said, look at this. This is perfect. And the job was at the University of Wales, Trinity St David, with sponsorship. And the job sounded fantastic. And I'd been to the university before with my previous job, and I really liked the environment. I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. It's just down the road. And then I thought, I'm going to go for it. And I had an interview, and I loved the people that interviewed me. They were great, answered all my questions. They just were really nice people. And it just felt right. And then obviously when I found out I got the position, I was thrilled, because I just thought, this is it. Pre the interview and pre finding out that I'd had the job, it was the scariest time, because, you know, knowing if anyone's ever been out of work or had the thought that they might not have that money coming in, it's a frightening time. But looking back on it now, it was the best thing that ever could have happened. It removed me from something that maybe I wasn't fulfilled from anymore. And it gave me the kick up the butt that I needed to seek out what I actually needed to do. And now I look back and I think, oh, it's the best thing ever. Because now I'm in a role that I absolutely love, and I'm working with people who are teaching me things every day.
So there's that learning and growth that we talked about earlier. There's that sense of it felt right, the right people around you. All of those elements come together as part of environment to make that work as well, don't they? And I think what's really interesting is that, you know, it popped in as if by magic, is what I'm hearing from you. And actually, you know, there's a careers theory called planned happenstance, that when you're ready and the timing is right, things will appear to you. And I'm going to use one of my favourite all-time quotes now that I use probably at least once a week, if not more often. And that's from Joseph Campbell. Interestingly, the American mythologist, who said something like, when you follow your bliss, doors will open for you in places where there are only walls for others. And what was so lovely about your story is not only did a door open, but it was opened by the aid of a careers advisor, just pinging you an opportunity, having worked with you and helped you through that period of transition. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, redundancy is either a disaster, if you look at it that way, or it's a massive opportunity to go, actually, what is it I want? And sometimes life sends us those moments that forces us to sit and look and think and go, well, I've got a hiatus happening here. Do I carry on? Or do I reset in a different direction? And you're right, it is a scary moment, and it can be quite a protracted moment. Was that conversation with the careers advisor helpful in helping you be certain about the direction you were travelling in?
So when I spoke to the careers advisor, it was actually, I had to sign on, I guess, to get my P45 and all that kind of stuff. And within 24 hours, I was being contacted, which I was super impressed with. I actually had a couple of careers advisors from different departments, the council and stuff like that. And talking to the careers advisor, because actually I don't know if I'd ever worked with a careers advisor personally from my own experience before this time. And talking to her made me realize that I was able to do this, and from my experience as well, she was very supportive, was able to give me information just to help me and give me that the reassurance that I needed at that time, because I was going through so many emotions at the time. I was so unsure about where I was going, and I do believe that some things happen for a reason, but I also feel like you have to push the pedals basically to get there too. If I hadn't have had that conversation with that particular careers advisor on that day, would I have found that job myself? I don't know. You do make it as well, because you put yourself out there. Not achieving it wasn't really an option. It wasn't like if, it was when. So whether it wasn't at this point, it would have been in hopefully in another job. So I feel like I was driven to get to where I wanted to be. And I having that conversation with her was definitely a massive moment in my life, because if we hadn't have had it, I would definitely not be sat here now.
I think you're absolutely right about the door is there, but you have to walk forward. And obviously what that careers advisor did was held your faith at a time you probably couldn't hold it for yourself. And you'll know about the theories, Albert Bandura, around self-efficacy. And one of the things that helps somebody feel that they can move forward is somebody else telling them they can. And that's clearly what that advisor did so well for you. And no wonder you find that a really major moment for you, because it was. Look, it's got you to here. And we're having a conversation about you working in careers now for coming up to 2 years. How's it been?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I've learned so much, and I'm very fortunate that I work with people who are so open to share things with me and have been patient with me. And I've also been encouraging and given me the ability to bring my own skills and experiences in. I would say 60% of my way through my course now, maybe a little bit more. Going forward, I'm definitely feeling much more confident. And I felt confident for a while, but that's because they've been so encouraging and given me the ability to do that and work with students. I'm not being held back until I'm, you know, qualified. I'm fully open with the students when I'm working with them that I'm still learning, but not qualified yet, but I hopefully will be shortly. I think that I'll always be learning anyway. It's crazy to think back though how much has changed in the last 2 years, because as well as working full-time, I'm obviously studying as well at Coventry, which has been brilliant, and I've got a great group of classmates who are really supportive, and the lecturers and the staff there have been really supportive as well. So I feel very fortunate, and I'm surrounded by good people who are all supportive. I don't think I've met anyone that has not been willing to answer questions or share their life experiences, tips and guidance, even little things like conducting interviews or working with students. It's been a great couple of years so far.
That's great to hear that. I think this is a community, the career development sector is a community that's a tugs, metaphorically, at the very least, and is very welcoming and open to anybody who wants to come and help develop other people, which is what we fundamentally do. And of course, your own development comes through both being part of AGCAS, the Association of Graduate Careers Advisory Services, that all university career services are members of, or at least most. And you're also a student member of the Career Development Institute as well. So you've got access to all of our CPD that we offer there as well. So lots of change for you, but a huge period of growth over the last 2 years, and probably something to be very thankful to COVID for, if I can put it like that, which sounds a bit like a contradiction in terms, but it's given you that opportunity to move and pull together all of those strands that you've got about helping and caring for people, making a difference to people's lives. That was through your volunteering work in particular. And I know you do stuff around the National Youth Advocacy Service as well, helping befriend and support people from disadvantaged, disruptive backgrounds into better life. Lots of threads coming together there. And of course, the one thing I know from working in universities myself is when you work with students, they come from all over the world with all sorts of different cultures and backgrounds and worries and challenges, that if they can have a friendly voice and face to have a conversation with, they can make sense of the world moving forward. And it's quite clear that's something that you are very well set up to do already, and will be doing all the more once you get your badge of honour and your certificate and have finished doing your postgrad course. Bit of a challenge in managing that with your full-time work, I suspect. Any tips for anybody who's thinking about doing that?
Oh gosh, I thought it would be okay studying and working full-time, but I would say that would probably have sent me in overdrive. Even though it's part-time, there are times of the year when obviously you've got more assignments to do than others, and it's always in the back of your mind. However, I think planning your workload and being clear and starting your assignments as early as possible is advisable. I think it's doable though, and I think clear communication with your employer. If you're lucky enough to work in an industry which is related already, then that definitely helps. Keeping a clear line of communication with my manager, who has been so flexible and helpful throughout the whole time, as have my team, who have been very understanding, as they've been through the process too, and they understand what I'm going through at the moment, and patient. It's really helped me, because I know that if I need a bit more time, I can speak to them and say, oh, you know, would you mind if I took this day or this afternoon or whatever to do the work, then that really does help, because sometimes there just aren't enough hours in a day. But just planning it and making sure that you are keeping on top of your schedule will help the process. But I think it's definitely doable. But I think just being kind to yourself and giving yourself time is really important. I was never the most academic student growing up. I was very creative, and I still am. So it's not come easy for me, the academic writing, but I have a new faith in myself about what I can do. And I think that's been great for me personally, just to remind myself that I can do it. I might need to take a bit more time to do things, but I think if you push yourself, you can achieve anything, really. I mean, I'll be sad when it's over, because I love my classmates and I love traveling up to Coventry, but I'm looking forward to fully immersing myself in university life and really taking what I've learned and pushing myself forward, because I think it's given me so much enthusiasm to go out and be a careers advisor.
I think that's true. I think there will be no stopping you. It's quite clear the passion for the work you do and the growth that you've been on in your own journey to becoming a careers advisor. And that's what happens when we learn and we change direction, our identity shifts and we grow and stretch. And that's absolutely as it should be. It's been fascinating hearing your story and charting those early themes of childhood, growing up in a very wide cultural environment, yet sometimes some values that didn't fit that caused you to change, that wanted freedom, that sense of travel that's perpetuated through, but above all that sense of wanting to help people. We know the root of that as well. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Now, one thing I always ask people when they come onto the podcast is to share a quote, a movie or a book that really resonates with you. What would be yours as we come to the end of this episode?
So I am a massive movie buff. I absolutely love nothing more than sitting down and watching a good movie. But there's one film in particular that anyone who knows me knows that my favourite film of all time is Forrest Gump. I absolutely love this movie. It's about life and it shows you the different stages that, you know, you come across in life and how the things that you do have an impact and how the people around you are, they might only be in your life for a short amount of time, but how much of a significant impact they can have and how life can be if you take every opportunity. And I just think that if you've seen the movie, you'll know that there's significant stages in his life that are massive parts of history, which I think is fantastic, the way they link everything together. And it just makes me feel like we're all on this, I know this sounds so corny, but we're all on a journey and everybody's going to be so different. And I think that you can have multiple lives within your life. I think if you put everything into it, you can have that varied life where you meet people from all over the place. People might leave and never come back. You might have some people who are consistent. And I love that, because in the film, he has that where he has people that come and go, but he also has some consistencies in there. And I just think that it's such a meaningful movie about people and just growth, really, because, you know, he goes through a massive transformation in his life. And I think that it's just a fantastic film and it makes me want to watch it now.
With a box of chocolates, no doubt.
Yes, exactly.
Why does that not surprise me that you said that? Because that echoes all the themes that we've talked about today. And I have really loved hearing your journey towards being able to help others create theirs. Good luck with whatever the next chapter in your career story brings. And thank you for sharing your decision to change your story today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Often, we make decisions to move in a certain direction because we've been given opportunities or have been nudged by others. We know deep down if what we're doing is right. We all have a voice, that quiet voice that knows what's good for us, the voice within which expresses disquiet. The trick is to listen to that voice, to trust it, and to take our courage in both hands so that we can move in the direction of something new which calls to us. As the saying goes, we can't be what we can't see until something in someone else's story inspires us to take the next step, to try something new, to adventure.
If this episode has helped you to do just that, to change your story in some way, then please share it in the show notes that go with it on your social media channels so it can help others that you know too to escape from a job they hate and find a career they love. I do hope you'll join me next time when we'll be hearing from another inspirational guest to help you continue to change your story for the better. See you soon.